All right, so let's take the next couple of minutes to focus on, once again, the overview of the fivefold ministry gifts. A couple weeks ago, I talked about, touch a little bit on Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. It says, he gives some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors, teachers. You remember what I said? When you study the Greek, you go back in the original text, it's not necessarily pastor and teacher. It's pastor, teacher. It's teacher too. There's a gift called teacher, but the pastor walk very close to the teaching anointing or the teaching grace. You can take a picture of this. This is great information. This is like weeks of Bible study in just a couple of sentences. Okay? So that's why a good shepherd, a shepherd after God's heart, should be able to teach God's people the word. You should have, you know, in Acts it says the believers, they were devoted in the apostles' teaching. So, of course, what is an apostle? An apostle is a pioneer, a foundation. An apostle could also be a missionary, someone God sent to a country, in a different area to start a move. Okay? Paul, Peter, the 12 apostles, they were sent by Jesus to be an apostle. Now, this is just simple explanation by the word of God. If somebody hasn't been sent to start a new work, they're not laying foundational work, they shouldn't be calling themselves apostles, okay? But we hear it out there, people give themselves titles for the sake of apostle. No. An apostle is called to establish God's work with vision. They cast out the vision, authority, and strategy. Strategy. For example, I remember Dave was talking about, Dave and your group, you guys were talking about when you were sent by Mount Pleasant Church. If you really think about it, Dave would hate if we'd start calling him Apostle Dave. I'm picking on you, buddy. But guys, I thank God for Dave and at the group that left or that came from Mount Pleasant. They were sent here in Lenstown. If you think about it, they were sent as missionaries with a vision. They cast a vision and they're still sticking around. Of course, Dave is not a pastor, but that group that was sent from that church, they were missionaries in Lenstown. So they functioned until the church was established for them to bring a pastor wherever or maybe within themselves. They function in the anointing or the grace of an apostle. So Pastor Dave, God bless. You know, I know I said Dave would hate for us to start calling him Apostle Dave. But seriously, I've already told them in private. I'm like, man, you know, I think, were you part of the group, Jerry? No? No? But Dave, I think you and Pauline are the only ones who are still here. And I'll tell you guys, if you don't know these people, you should get to know them. They're not up front anymore, but they're part of my elders, even though they don't have a title. I counsel with Dave. Pauline, she does a lot of stuff that you have no idea. So I'm very thankful, and that's why I know, as a matter of fact, every work that is established on the solid foundation, which is Jesus is the solid foundation, also build on the work of the apostles and the prophet. Believe me, Jesus said, the gate of hell will not prevail against it. And if you read the stories, the history of this church, if this church was not under the grace of God, we wouldn't be anymore. Now, you newbies probably have no idea what I'm talking about, but you oldies, could you say amen? You know, we have newbies and oldies. I am newbie, all right? That's why I'm not erasing our past here. I go back and I read the stories. I talk, you know, once a year. We over our mission month, actually in October, we get you know people that who has been here for years. We get them to share the history. You don't erase your history just like that. The bad, the good, the ugly, the ups and downs, the valleys, the mountain experience. It's part of what made us. Now I can look. I'm like, you know what, God, you're faithful. If this church is still here, the Lord is faithful. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
He is faithful. Because really, with everything that has happened here, man, this church should have folded years ago. But no, Jesus said, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that's what he did here. So I take this time to honor you two. You know, for all of you who's been here for the longest time, who stick with it, you had the choice to jump the ship like everybody else did, but you didn't. God bless you. I honor you. I love you for that. Okay? So they plant, they build, they oversee, you know, they laying the foundation. And I love this. It says the kingdom expansion. The focus should never be church. That's why even if, as we talk about outreach, the outreach is not to make our church bigger. No, the outreach is to establish the kingdom. Are you with me? Now, if God decides to bring us more people, well, so be it. Well, that's fine. You know, but that's not the focus. And then, of course, we got the prophets. A prophet, we lease. Revelation and direction. Now, there's a difference between the prophets of the Old Testament and the prophet in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, when you study the Bible, you understand you are all being called to be prophets to the nations. You know, a prophecy does three things. It brings exhortation, edification, and what's the third one? It's the three E's. What is it again? Encouragement. Yes. Thank you. Yeah, so it's exhortation, encouragement, edification, and exhortation. The prophet in the Old Testament would always predict the future. Say, thus says the Lord, it's going to rain, there's going to be a tornado. That's not an example, right? The prophet would be like, thus says the Lord, do this, do that, go right, go left, sit down. The prophet would release God's intention. In the Old Testament, you know, in the Old Covenant, only three category of people had the anointing of God over them. It was the king, the prophet, and the priest. For example, you remember Prophet Nathan, Prophet Jeremiah, Prophet, Moses was a prophet. He was anointed by God. But now, thank God, under the New Covenant, by the Holy Spirit, we have been called to be prophets to the nations. What do we bring? Exhortations, encouragement, edification. You know, when now under the New Covenant, when a prophet speaks, you will understand they'll bring exhortation. They might even pronounce God's wrath, but it's to bring people to repentance. And I'm going to get there. There's a verse I'm going to show you. It was so, so good the way the Lord opened my eyes on that verse. So a prophet called to hear from God and communicate his heart. I pray. I said, Lord, release the prophetic voice. Increase my prophetic awareness. Increase it, Lord. With the prophetic comes discernment. You see, I want all of you to be prophetic. Because when you're prophetic, you'll be able to discern. You know, and I tell you, when I preach the word or anybody else who preached the word here, don't just amen me. I want you to give me an amen, all right? But go and see what I'm saying is true. In your prayer closet, you need to examine what's being... I'll take care of that later. Oh, don't worry about it. You know, you need to be able to examine what's being spoken or the word that's coming forth. That's why you know, sometimes during our worship service, I said, I just wait on the Lord. Does anybody have a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge? Now, under the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, a word of wisdom predict the future. A word of knowledge reveal God's knowledge for the moment. We'll get more details on that later. But may you all experience the prophetic. May your increase, your discernment be increased. Because I tell you, when we all grow into this, people can't fool you. You don't go like the waves. You know, it's like you find this teaching here, you know, those people. It's like all of a sudden they discover this teaching online and teaching, oh, so good. But then they're not checking out character of whoever is bringing the message. Now, understand this, there is a time for preparation and a time for release. Now, because someone is called to operate, function under the gift, the grace, the anointing, same words, of these fivefold ministry gifts, there is a time of preparation. Okay? Sometimes people give their life to the Lord, they were charismatic. Now, please, do not take charisma over character. Do not trade charisma for character. And I believe anyone who is truly anointed, spending time in the presence, yes, God will anoint you and gift you. But the first thing he will shape is your character. So God can use a donkey to speak. You know that stubborn ass? God can use him. But check their character. Don't say God can't use them if they speak the word of the Lord. I'm talking about prophets. If they speak the word of the Lord, you discern it. You're mature enough. You examine it. You judge from your heart by the Holy Spirit. This is the word from the Lord. But then when you look at their character, you see their character is betraying the talk. Don't discard the prophecy. Don't discard the encouragement. Don't discard the exhortation. That's why, once again, here, we value your character over your ability. It doesn't matter if we come here and we play YouTube. If the worship leader is lack of character, your ability would sit down. The talent will sit down. Because we're not promoting talents here. We want the anointing of the Lord to influence the way you live, even at Walmart. That's my favorite store. Actually, it's Home Depot. Are you with me? So they bring revelation. A prophet brings revelation. Now understand, every teaching, every word being released without relationship can be a lecture. And I even said it to different people who preach here at our church. I always tell them, I say, get to know the people. Remember, I'm very pastoral. Even when I bring someone here to teach or preach, I won't bring you anybody. Now, sometimes, you remember this guy, this Indian guy, this Indian brother that I invite to preach? I wasn't here, though. He did preach the word of the Lord, but he screamed at everybody. You remember? He had his own style, you know? But I would tell somebody, if a good brother or a good sister, I say, hey, if you're going to bring the word, if your style is to shout, come on, Reverend, I'm going to be like, you know what? You feel the anointing, all right? But these people here, you start shouting at them, you're going to scare them. Now, I'm not talking about speaking the truth. No. But there are some people, evangelists or some preachers, they think the anointing is in speaking loud. You know, I mean, I'm not going to talk about understanding authority, right? Understanding kingdom authority. It happens in our families. You know, some parents, they think for the child to listen, they need to tell, Johnny, sit down. No, you don't have to do that. If you teach your kids understand, if your kids understand authority, actually you could just look at them and be like, sit down. Don't do that. You could with a smile. And I see the same thing with the devil. When you understand, man, some of you who missed our teaching on In Christ Reality, go and listen to it again on our website. When you know your authority, you know, sometimes, yeah, you could be like, get away from me, Satan. Your thought is not God's thought. Get away from me. Yes, I get it. Because sometimes you deal with kids who are stubborn. You need to kind of let them know, hey, get out. But other times, you know your position as a parent. You know your authority as a parent. So I don't have to scream. Who's the authority? I am. Jesus is the authority. So then what? I was like, no, I don't do that. I don't do that. No. But sometimes I might have to spank him. Yeah. So you and the kid, we have a clear understanding of, guys, not now. I'm talking about when Ryan was 2 years old. Ryan is such a joy, awesome young man to live with, I tell you, because he loves the Lord. I'm thankful for that. So me and the kid, or you and the kid, me and demons, we have a clear understanding of authority, all right? So once again, a prophet, we reveal God's intention. So please pray with me. When you pray for our church, join me by praying. Lord, release the prophetic voice. You know, and some of you, if God's giving you vision, dreams, a word of prophecy, share it with us. Let us hear what you're saying, what God is saying through you. Because, of course, we sift it. I remember I had an experience with somebody at our other church. Very prophetic. People used to do this. I don't know if they do that here, but different prophets used to go around and bring the word of the Lord. You know, they proclaim, I don't know, maybe somebody anoint them as prophets, right? And then they're going around giving the word of the Lord. And I've heard it. So here, Sunday morning, this guy showed up. I don't know if you remember this. This guy showed up and, you know, you can tell. He had a word. You see, let me tell you this. God might be burning your heart with a word. You should ask yourself this question. Should I release it? Is it now? Lord, what should I do with it? Especially if you're just visiting a place. You call that wisdom. So here is this guy. But I think he actually came. He already had the word before he showed up. Thank God for the spirit of discernment. I kind of already right away discern it. I'm like, okay, I'm not judging his words not good, but I feel unease. I'm like, if he has a word, there's something that's not right. So, okay. It's like he presented himself as prophet so-and-so. I said, okay, thank you for being here. He's like, I got a word from the Lord for the churches and stuff. I've been going around. I said, all right, that's good. I said, where you come from? Who's your pastor? I said, where you come from? He's like, what do you mean? He's like, I'm a prophet. red flag. Yeah, you're anointed. But so, okay, where you come from? Where's your home? Who's your authority? Paul. The greatest. Apostle Paul. We love him. Beside Jesus, I want to be like Paul. Yeah, I do. Beside Jesus. I would want to be like Paul. You know, he died, you know, in a crazy way. Jesus died too. Paul was under authority. He was very anointed. Paul submitted. You see, when you read the Bible, you're like, man, Paul just give him his life to the Lord. When you read the book of Acts, it took him between, what was it, 14 to 22 years. By the time Paul got knocked off his horses going to Damascus, to persecute the Christians. It took him 14 years before he was released into the ministry. Now, when you read the book of Acts, you think, oh man, just one chapter to the next, he was, no! There was a time of preparation, a time of release, and you see what happened here. I mean, you see what happened. You see artists, you know, we're not going to name anybody, artists, people who are artists in the world, they were singing for the devil, and all of a sudden, they choose Jesus. The 6 months later, they have this big ministry. Who's mentoring them? And then people start calling them prophet so-and-so, evangelist so-and-so. There's a danger. Because your character and ethic, when the Lord shape it, that's the only thing that would protect your anointing. The only thing that protects your anointing is your character. You can be so anointed, so gifted, but unless God shape your character to his image, man, we see it, guys. We see people with a lot of talents. We see pastors with great abilities, but because they never give time to sit under authority. You remember what I said a couple weeks ago? Who is shepherding you? As a matter of I talked with some people here at our church. I said, because you come here to church, that doesn't mean I am your pastor. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean Restoration is your community. How are we committed? Are we in covenant? Am I speaking in your life? Am I the one with the voice? If you're doing anything stupid, to be like, man, that's not good. Can I pull you up? Now let me finish with this verse and we'll come back. Ooh. This is good. We'll stop right there in prophets. So let's open your Bible in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to finish with that because I want you to see this word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm going to read it in 3 different versions, all right? We read the New Living Translation. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work." Now, those who are leaders in the Lord's work could also be your cell leaders, you know, your teachers, your pastors, you know, people who are being in charge. Now, once again, understand leadership is not a title, it's influence. Some people have a title of leadership, but they influence nothing. They influence nobody. So it says, honor those because they give you spiritual guidance. Verse 13, show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work. And live peacefully with each other, brothers and sisters. We urge you to warn those who are lazy. You know, Priscilla just shared with us, the Lord rebuked her. It's like, Priscilla, you're too lazy. Come on, I've anointed you with the ability to do outreach, and I've been pulling you. She talked to me. I've been pulling you to do the things you want, you should do, but you think it's too much work. Come on, girl, let's go. Then she's like, okay, Lord, I'm convicted. Then she's like, okay, Pastor Ricardo, can I talk to you? I'm convicted. I'm willing to do, even if it's me, I'm willing to do outreach. All right, so then we start talking. All right. Now, in the NIV, this is what it says, 1 Thessalonians. It says, now we speak to you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you. Work hard. Ministry is hard work. It's not a title. You know, I tell you all the time. I mean, this week, sometimes I get in this mode where I pray for all of you. I would wake up like at 3 a.m. I'm like, okay, Lord, what's up? And it's like, pray for X, pray for Y, I, you know, Z. Pray. I'm like, okay, I pray in spirit, Lord, I pray. So there is a burden. And I need you to know that. I want you to acknowledge those who work hard, but not only that, who do what? What they do? Care for you in the Lord. And who, help me, what is that word? Admonished. Underline that word. So then I went to the Greek. I'm like, okay, I'm reading the Bible. I'm reading this verse. the word popped out, admonished. So I went to the Greek, it's nutheteo, which means to warn, to firmly warn, to advise, to urge earnestly. And then I keep going down the list. It says that word means to pull up. And I'm like, no wonder Kendra and I, we've been saying, I'm going to call people up. You see, the work of the anointing of the Lord is to call you up. Not to expose you. To call you up. You can do better. Call up. God's calling me up. Not this world's standard, to not this world's standard, but to His standard. So, and I'm like, okay, no wonder I have this deep desire to call people up. Now, listen to this. Let's 2 minutes. Let's read this verse. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 8. I'm going to read it. Do you have it in the TPT? Let's read that, and then we'll continue next week. Romans chapter 12, verse 8. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Father. All right, let's see if I can find it. Right here. Romans 12, verse 8. It says, if you preach, just preach God's message. Nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you put in charge, do not manipulate. If you call to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. But the part I really love, it says, if your grace gift is to serve, don't take over. Now you'll understand, sometimes God might put you in charge, might put somebody in charge who you think is less gifted than you. There's a story for you. Oh, it's 12. I said I finished. But let me give you the story and then we'll pray. So I'm training some people. I had these two leaders, two awesome, capable people, gifted. A couple times I'm like, okay, I'm getting ready to license them as assistant pastor. The Lord told us, no. I'm like, man, they're so good. When they show up, they're so good. The Lord's like, keep saying, no. All right. So then one time I had to come to the States. I had this soaking in prayer. I do. And I would have like, you know, between six and 10 people that would show up. But I had a young guy that I was training playing guitar. So he would come and I'd play the keyboard and he would play guitar for me. And he was faithful, coming, doing it. So I said, I'm going to travel for a month. Those people, they used to come too, the leaders. I called the group. I said, I want this little guy to be in charge. They looked at me like, what? But it was a test. It was a test. They could be in charge. But some reason, I'm like, I bet you they think they're so talented, they can't submit. I left. They never came while I was gone. And that was the red flag. Those people, unfortunately, God have mercy. Their marriage got destroyed. The enemy had a party over them because, yes, they were anointed, but they lacked humility. They lacked a healthy understanding of authority. So you see what we're talking about, the fivefold ministry gifts. That's something I believe once the church, us, we understand. You understand we are a body with the body of Christ. We have many parts. God has entrusted you with a talent. He's going to hold you responsible for that talent. And that's why I thank God that we, pastors, teachers, the prophet, the prophetic voice, can train you, equip you for the work of the ministry. Amen? Let's stand. Robert, come pray. Thank you, Jesus. Robert, come pray. Check, check. Yes, Lord. We have this mic ready for me, Dan.
Praise the Lord. Lord, we love you. Romans 13:1 says, let every soul be subject unto a higher power. So, Lord, let us in our hearts and minds submit to one another and to those who you have put over us in the Lord to watch and care for our souls. For we know that they do it with carefulness, with sincerity, and with seriousness. Lord, I thank you for everyone here and for those who are watching via Facebook. We thank you for their lives. We thank you that you're working in their marriages and their careers. We thank you that you're working in their finances and in their children's hearts and lives, bringing them back to the Lord. So, Father, we just ask that everybody be blessed with a restful day today, that they might have a blessed week in the Lord, that they might think much about you. They might meditate on you. They might talk to you. They might share you with other people. Let Jesus Christ reign in their hearts and in our homes this week. In Jesus' name, we pray and believe with great strength and faith. Amen.
Amen. Well, God bless you guys. Make it a great day.